Well, we've had a great time in this series. See, one of my love languages is gifts. So I love getting gifts. I love giving gifts. So this has been a fun part for me to be able to give a gift every week to somebody. But we've been talking about in this series how to love out loud in real and practical ways. And if you've not been here for each week and you want to go back and see some of the things we've talked about, you can see that anytime. We have a video format of our messages, and that's at our website, thebridge.me/messages. And you can find any of the messages in this series or from series in the past that you want to watch. Or you can listen on the go with our podcast. You go to iTunes podcast and you search for the Bridge Fellowship and you can find the audio version there. And so you can catch up on any of the messages of this series or others that we've done in the past. So, but to recap a little bit of where we've been. The very first week we talked about a verse from the Bible that the Apostle Paul wrote. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1. And it was our theme verse throughout the whole series. And here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 14, 1. He said, let love be your highest goal. So as you set your goals for your life, as you set the goals for your year, love needs to be at the top. Love needs to be the mark. It needs to be the standard that you're constantly shooting for. It needs to be the filter through which you make every decision. That love needs to be that guiding force in your life. Love needs to be that standard, that highest goal. And we said as a kind of a theme statement for the whole series, we said this. If we don't love well, we won't live well. Now, I think that applies to everyone in the room, but especially if you're a Christ follower. If we don't really learn to love well, then we really don't live well. That the prescription for living a full life is learning how to love in a full way. And then in week two, we came around and we talked about how do we love the VDPs in our life, the very draining people in our life, or the sandpaper people in our life that tend to rub us the wrong way. How do we love those people? And I gave you a piece of sandpaper, and you were writing the initials of the person that the sandpaper person or a very draining person in your life. And hopefully you've had an opportunity since then to be able to invest into that relationship a little bit. But one of the things that we talked about in that message was that in every relationship, there will be occasions when a gap will exist between what you expect and that person's actual behavior. So I expect that you are going to do this, but you actually did this. And anytime there's a gap between our expectations and the other person's behavior, we will make a choice. We will either choose to believe the best about that person, or we will choose to assume the worst about that person. And we do this all the time. And depending on what relationship it is, you might go different ways on that. But anytime there's a gap, we will choose either to believe the best or assume the worst. And what we said is if we're going to learn to love out loud, do we need to err on the side of believing the best? Believing the best at least until it's proven otherwise. That our constant error, if it's going to be our error, is that we will believe the best about each other or the relationships we have. And that's what it means to really learn to love out loud with that person in that relationship. And then last week, Zach Greider was with us, and he talked about how the most fulfilling life we can ever live is learning how to love God and to love the people that God places in our life. That if we learn to love God, and it has to be a sacrificial and authentic kind of love, but as we learn to love God and love other people, that we are most fulfilled in life. And so today as we wrap up, I want to talk to you about a skill that I would probably think most of us in the room need work on. I know that I need work on it. It's a skill that I don't think we're born with, for sure, and I don't really think that most of us are ever taught much about this skill in our culture and our society. I really think this message may be one of the most practical messages I've done in 22 years of being the pastor here. And you say, well, what skill is this? It's the skill of confronting with love. How do you have tough conversations with people that you love? How do you address issues? Maybe they're difficult issues. Maybe they're issues, maybe they're decisions that are being made, or maybe they're destructive patterns that are a part of that person's life. How do you have those difficult conversations with people that you love and care about? Now, isn't it true, if you've been on the other side, I mean, none of us really like hearing that we're doing something wrong. None of us really like having the decisions that we've made being questioned by people that say they love us. We don't really like that. And people come to us and say, listen, I need to ask you about this, or listen, I think what you're doing is wrong. None of us hardly ever go, well, you know, thank you for that. I really needed that today. I appreciate it. No, we don't. We get defensive. We get upset. You don't know. You just, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we don't like it. But then when it's the other side of it, when it's us that needs to go and have that conversation, that's a struggle, right? I mean, we beat around the bush and we're like, oh, maybe somebody else will do it. And why does it have to be me? And then, you know, we come up with every reason in the world not to go and have those difficult conversations. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't really know how to confront situations with love. You know, Jesus was a master at this. And Jesus, you know, he always made the right choices when it came to this. But when you study the life of Christ, there are times that he avoided conflict altogether. He just went a different direction, just avoid it. It wasn't worth it. There were times that he resolved conflict. And there were times that he created the conflict or the tension. And all of those things were in an effort to show love. And you know what? In every relationship that you have, any close relationship that you have, all three of those will be a part of that at some point. There will be times that you just need to avoid. It's not even worth saying anything. Why even bring that up? It's not worth it. There are times that you'll need to resolve whatever conflict it is. You need to be the bigger person. You need to go and just resolve that. And there are times that you'll actually be the one that has to create that tension. You'll have to create that conflict. You'll have to address those difficult subjects. And it's so, as difficult as it is so necessary. It is so important. And the truth is, real love takes courage. And at times it's going to take you to be brave enough to go and have those tough conversations. So how do you do that? Well, the Apostle Paul, in another passage in the book of Ephesians, he says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. He said, this is kind of our goal, our mission, that we will speak the truth in love. We will speak the truth in love. And I want you to notice something right up front. Truth and love always go together. Deception and love never go together. But truth and love will always be together. And there are times that you genuinely need to have a conversation with someone about a difficult issue. And the fact that you're willing to do that means that there's a deep love that you share for that person, that you're willing to go and have that tough conversation. So, thinking about what Paul says, that we will speak the truth in love, think about that in light of some of our tendencies. See, sometimes it may be your tendency to simply smile and act like everything's okay. And you know it's not, but you're going to act like it is. And you're just like, oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, it's great. I'm not saying anything. I'm just going to keep walking. And we don't want to say anything. We're just going to keep smiling and act like it's okay. Or we will say something, just not to that person. We'll say something to several other people, you know, kind of a way of, what do you think about it? You know, I'm wondering if I should share this with that person. So give me some input. Yeah, I know, I've already gotten input from like 10 other people, but I need input from you too, right? Or if we're more spiritual than that, we'll share it like in a way of a prayer request. You know, I've noticed that she's been hanging out with this guy a lot, and I'm afraid that it's moving toward an affair. We need to pray for her, that she makes better decisions. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's made a lot of big purchases here lately, and there's rumors about him stealing from the company. We just need to pray that he makes better decisions. Not that any of you would ever do that. I'm just saying there are people that actually do that, though. Couch them in spiritual ways. I'm not going to have the conversation with you. I'll have it with a bunch of other people. And see, when we do that, we're hurting everyone involved. We're not helping that person because we're not willing to confront the situation. In fact, we're adding to their misery because we're bringing other people around. We're spreading the misery to other people. We're hurting the people that we tell this information to because they didn't know about it until we told them, and now they are living with what we told them as well. We're not helping ourselves because we still feel the burden of what's going on, and now we've just included a bunch of other people. It is a total loss when we're not willing to go and talk to that person, but we're just able to walk around smiling and talking to a bunch of other people. That's sometimes our tendency. Maybe your tendency is not that, though. Maybe your tendency is that you're going to speak truth. I mean, that's your mindset. That's your kind of mission statement. You know, I just speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what you know, you're a truth speaker, right? You just truth speak recreationally. That's what you do. I'm just going to tell you how it is. I'm going to tell you like it is. I just speak the truth. And we kind of said this in week two. Sometimes just speaking the truth is not enough. Sometimes speaking the truth is more harmful than it is helpful, especially if it's not spoken in a way with love. Because what we said in week two is this, that a right truth spoken in a wrong way is never loving and it's rarely helpful. I just want to speak the truth. I'm just going to give people peace of my mind. Listen, most of us don't have enough of our mind left to keep giving people pieces of it, okay? I'm just going to tell you, listen, sometimes we just want to speak the truth, and that's not the best way. It may be the truth, but it doesn't help that person. And maybe that's not your tendency. Maybe your tendency is this. I'm just going to speak love. I'm just going to speak words of encouragement, words of love. I don't want to say anything negative. I don't want to say anything bad. I'm not going to confront anything. What? No, I'm not going to do that. There's enough bad stuff in the world. I'm just going to speak love. Imagine if you went to your doctor for a checkup. And your doctor looks at you and says, man, you are a physical specimen. Are you an Olympian? I didn't even know you were in the Olympics. Are you an Olympian? I mean, look at this. Everybody give it up. Give it up. Look at this. Go, prosper. You don't even need to see me. Are you kidding? Man, go. And later that day, you fall over. Heart gives out going up a flight of stairs. They rush you to the hospital. You find out you're one jelly donut away from the Grim Reaper. You get out of the hospital. You look at your doctor and say, what in the world? And your doctor says, I know. You were in the shape of like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I didn't want to tell you that, though. I mean, just think about it. If I told people that all the time, that how offensive that would be, I wouldn't have any business. People wouldn't want to come. I want this to be a safe place where people feel loved and accepted for who you are. I didn't want to tell you that. And what would you say? You would say, when it comes to my body, tell me the truth, okay? And while we would feel that way about our physical body, we need to feel just as adamant about our spiritual body. About the decisions that we're making that might be harmful to us, to other people. So just speaking love all the time, that's really not enough. That's why Paul says, you got to put all of it together and you've got to speak truth in love. You've got to speak truth in such a way that's covered. It's surrounded by love. See, when we speak truth in the context of love, it helps. It doesn't hurt. It guides our path. It guards our heart. It builds us up. It never burns us down. See, that's what speaking truth in love is all about. And it's desperately needed. In fact, Paul goes on, he finishes the verse. Here's what the rest of the verse says. We will speak truth in love, so we will grow up in every way more and more like Christ. So if you're a Christ follower in here, there's an aspect of your growing in maturity as a Christ follower that you need people speaking truth to you, speaking truth into your life. I know I need people speaking truth into my life because I have an issue with sin. I like sin. You say, I can't believe a preacher would say that. Well, you do too. And if you don't, you just hadn't found the right one because it's fun. Sin is fun. I mean, if it's like taking medicine, none of us would do it, right? I mean, I have an issue with it. In fact, when I have a tendency to want to compartmentalize truth, right? I have a tendency to want to, oh, that doesn't apply to this because I want to do this, right? I have a tendency to kind of become distracted by other things. Okay, it's not a big deal over here. I have a tendency not to want to see the truth, not to want to hear the truth, to do what I want to do. I don't know if that applies to you or not. I'm just telling you what my issues are. I need people that I know love me and will speak to me and say, Scott, listen, I think what you're doing, man, you got to be careful because you're just going the wrong direction. It could hurt you. It could hurt people around you. I need those people in my life that are willing to speak truth into my life in the context of love. So how do you do that? How do you go to someone that you care about and have a difficult conversation? Well, I want to talk to you about that. I want to try to give you a plan for how to do that, okay? I'm going to give you three things to consider if you're having to share something or having a difficult conversation. Three things to consider. Number one, check your motivation. If you're talking about speaking the truth in love, check your motivation first off. Why am I wanting to have this conversation? Why do I feel the need to say this to this person? Is it just because I'm jealous? Is it because I'm frustrated? I'm irritated? I'm angry? See, there are bad motivations for having those conversations. There are bad reasons for having those conversations. So what is your motivation? Why are you wanting to have this? Here's a good motivation. A good motivation is so that you want to help and not hurt. Can you say that as you're going into this conversation? My goal here is to help, not to hurt. My goal here is to build them up, not to tear them down. My goal here is to make it about them and not about me. If you can answer those kind of questions and you feel good about that, then you might have the right motivation. Later in that chapter in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul says this, 4:29. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. This word unwholesome, it's a word that means rotten, filthy. It means unhealthy, unhelpful. He says, don't let anything come out of your mouth that's unhelpful, that's unwholesome, that is rotten. And so what he's saying, before I get into telling you what to say, is what Paul's saying, before I get into telling you what to say, let me tell you what not to say. The first thing you got to do is put a fence around your mouth, put a lid on what you're going to say. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's going to be unwholesome, that's not going to be helpful for them, that's going to be rotten, that's going to do nothing but tear down. You need to put a fence around that immediately. Early in our marriage, my wife Trina and I, we had bought a little Rottweiler puppy, cutest little puppy that grew into a 90-pound dog, but we made it our hope and our decision was that we wanted to constantly have him around people. From the time he was little bitty, we had him around people all the time, and he was the friendliest dog you'd ever be around. I promise. I know people say that about their dog, but I promise you, he was. But if you saw him running down the street in the neighborhood without a leash by himself, you don't care that I told you he's friendly. You're running for the hills, right? I mean, and that happened on different occasions, by the way. Three different times he broke out of the backyard. And they people, you know, they get into the, you know, security of their own home and they start calling the dog pound. Three different times I got a call from them, we got your dog. Three different times I had to go bail him out. And every time they would say, you know, we knew it was him. As soon as we get called in that neighborhood, we knew exactly who it was. And we'd go, we just put the tailgate down and hit the back of the tailgate. He'd come running, jump up in there and just start wagging his tail. I said, I know, he's a friendly dog. But you would think he was friendly when he is confined to that backyard, and I'm out there with him showing you he's friendly. Running free in the neighborhood didn't make you think that he was a friendly dog. And our mouths are the same way. We need to put a fence around those things because sometimes they get loose and people are running for the hills because of things we're wanting to say. He says, before you get going on what you need to say, you need to put a lid or a gate around what you don't need to say. Don't let anything rotten, unwholesome, unhelpful come out of your mouth. But, he goes on, he says this, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So see, that should be the motivation when you go to talk to someone. Is it your motivation to build this person up according to what they need? See, it ought to be our goal when we leave the conversation that that person feels better and feels better off because of the words we spoke to them. Think about some of the confrontations you've had. Do the people feel better off because of the words that you spoke to them? I want to build them up according to their needs. And he says at the end there that it may benefit those who listen. See, maybe you've been on the receiving end of somebody telling you things that you shouldn't be doing, destructive patterns in your life. And though some of it might have been truthful, it was so hurtful that you didn't feel like it was helpful at all. In those moments, did you sit back and think, they were sharing this for my benefit, or were they sharing it for their benefit? See, a lot of times you feel like, man, they're just sharing it because they wanted to vent. They had to get this off their chest. And you know how difficult that is. You know what receiving that was like. And that's why Paul says, that's not your approach. You have to look at this person and say, I want to build them up. I want to help them. I want to speak in a way that benefits them. I want to be focused on their needs and not mine. It's others-oriented and not me-oriented. How can I have this conversation in a way that makes them feel better, that builds them up, that encourages them, and that may make their life better on the other end? When you get ready to talk to someone, the first thing you got to do is check your motivation. But the second thing you need to do is plan your presentation. In other words, don't just go haphazardly into this conversation. Don't just say, don't just go into it and say, I'm just going to fill the situation out, just shoot from the hip. Don't. When you shoot from the hip, people wind up dying. Don't do it. You kill relationships. You kill the heart of people. Don't do it. We have to think back. We have to sit down and plan out, what is it that I'm going to say? And the only people that really get a free pass on just having unfiltered things they say are kids, right? They just say things because they're kids. Like, kind of like some of the kids in this video. Check this out.
What's wrong?
That doesn't look good.
What doesn't look good?
Your sweater.
I personally think I look just fine.
No, you don't.
I don't know what you all think.
No, Daddy.
There's the head and the body.
Where is that at?
In my tummy.
Right now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I knew it because you were fat.
My shadow. Lip gloss.
I already got some of it. Are you kidding, Santa?
What'd you wish for?
I wish for big movie.
Oh, my God.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I'm going to throw a shoe at you. Shut up!
Am I fat?
No, not very fat.
Just a little bit?
Yep.
Merry Christmas. Time to get up. Time for presents.
You're not the one who had diarrhea last night.
Ugh. Whose clothes are you washing?
Granddaddy's.
And?
Grandma's.
That's right. You helping them out?
I like that one.
This is a bad secret.
What?
Give me your ear.
What?
I peed in my pants. Don't tell anyone.
Okay. Man. Kids, man, they can just say whatever, right? I mean, there doesn't have to be a filter, and we laugh about anything like that that they say. But that's because they're kids. As adults, we don't really have that luxury. And some of the things we say are not funny. They're hurtful. And that's why in the book of Proverbs it says this. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say then is more persuasive. And isn't that really what you're wanting to be, is persuasive? I mean, especially if you're seeing something that a person's a direction they're heading in their life, or maybe something destructive that's going on in their life, don't you hope that you're persuasive? But here's the reality about being persuasive. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. You're never going to be persuasive if you come in just, you know, full guns, abrasive, just, you know, flying off the handle, firing off emails. You're never going to be persuasive. And by the way, emails and texts are horrible ways to have difficult conversations. When you fire off an email and a text, first of all, you're going to say, because of the impersonal nature of it, you're going to say way more than you should say. See, you'll say more in an email and a text than you would on the phone. You'll say more on the phone than you would face-to-face. Because the further, you know, you're removed from a personal contact, the more freedom you feel to say things. And you'll wind up saying way too much. Secondly, I don't care how many emojis you put in there, you cannot project tone correctly. And your email, your text can be misunderstood way too easily. And then third, once you hit send, it's gone. And you're going to spend a lot more time apologizing and doing things to try to reconcile because of things you typed out in a moment in an email or in a text and hit send and you couldn't get it back. Face to face is always better. So you need to plan out what you're going to say. You need to think it through. Have a plan. And so the parts of the plan, first of all, you need to plan what to say. What are you actually going to say? How are you going to get into this? How are you going to approach the subject that you need to talk about? How are you thinking about what to actually say in that moment and making sure that your words are words that don't wound? Again, in the book of Proverbs, it says this: thoughtless words can wound deeply like a sword. Wisely spoken words can heal. When we just throw words out there and we're not thinking it through, we're just kind of firing from the hip and all that kind of stuff, those thoughtless words have a tendency to cut really deep into our lives. But when we give thought to it, wisely spoken words, they have a tendency to heal. So you have to plan out what to say. How are you going to approach the subject? What things are you going to talk about? A great way to start that conversation is that if you own any responsibility at all in the situation, own it first. Look at that person and say, listen, I want to tell you where I've messed up here. I'm going to tell you my fault, what happened, my part of this. Own up first. It makes people more ready, you know, ready to listen to what you have to say when you are willing to own a portion of it. Men, just start by apologizing. You say, apologize for what? Just pick something. I'm sure there's a list. Just pick one. Start that way. Here's the reality is, anytime we approach a situation with humility and gentleness, it makes what we have to say much more palatable. It makes people willing to listen. It sets them at ease a little bit more than if we just come in ready to say what we had to say and just to pounce. So plan what to say. The second thing, plan when to say it. Plan when to say it. You know the old cliche, no time like the present. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of times other than the present. There's good time, there's bad time, there's right time, there's wrong time, there's bedtime, there's rush time. There's plenty of other times than the present, and you need to figure out the best time. Here's what the proverb says again. The right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver. When you say the right things and you find out the right time to communicate those, man, they're invaluable. They speak so much. So plan out when the right time is. You say, well, when is the right time? It's simple. When you are at your best and that person is at their best. Not when you're tired, not when you're rushed, not when you're constantly being interrupted. You say, well, you don't even know our home then. That's, 24/7. Well, then get babysitters and go outside your home, all right? If you have something really difficult to talk about, then you need to find a time where you're both rested, you both can give your full attention to it, no interruptions, you're at your best. So find a time, plan when to say it, plan what to say, plan when to say it, and then third, plan how to say it. And that's more about tone than actually what you're saying. Think about how you're saying these things. Again, Proverbs says this, a soft answer turns away wrath. You see, if you approach the situation like an authoritarian and a dictator, then you're going to be met with a rebellion. If your words are offensive, then their response is going to be defensive. So how will you approach this? Think about how you're saying this. Not just what you're saying, but are you willing to say it in a way that helps turn away wrath? It doesn't mean that the person's just going to sit back and go, oh, you said that so eloquently. I'll just listen. Yes, go ahead. No, that's pie in the sky, right? I mean, the tendency is they may still get defensive. Tendency, nobody likes to be told they're doing something wrong, okay? But at least you're not giving them another reason to throw up a wall and not listen. So think about what to say, think about when to say it, and think about how to say it. Plan your presentation. And then the last thing. So you've got check your motivation, you got plan your presentation. And then the last thing is give them affirmation. Give them affirmation. Words of encouragement, words of love. And it's probably best if you can sandwich whatever you got to say in between two parts of encouragement, affirmation, and love. Again, here's what Proverbs says. A word of encouragement does wonders. A word of encouragement does wonders. Let me ask you this. Anybody in here just been encouraged way too much here lately? Just like, man, if I get encouraged another time, I'm just going to die, okay? I've just been encouraged way too much. Police officer pulled me over the other day, just tell me how great I was driving. I mean, I just been encouraged way too much. I don't want to I've never had a couple come into my office for counseling and the lady say, he just affirms me too much. I'm so sick of all his affirmation and encouragement. I can't handle it anymore. I've never had that happen, all right? See, I think the tendency, and that even if you are one that's a great encourager, I think our tendency is still not to encourage enough. It's still not to affirm enough. So when you're having a difficult conversation, don't forget that part of it. Make sure you include words like, I love and care about you deeply. I'm here for you. I'm not leaving. I will be with you. I will work with you through this. I believe the best about you. I want the best for you. I think God is working in your life. I think God's got a great plan for your life. And God's going to use you to do incredible things. I deeply care. Man, if you can include things of that nature, people listening are much more inclined to take to heart what you have to say. So make sure you affirm and encourage along the way. So here's a question. Who is it that you need to have a difficult conversation with? Who is it in your life? Who is it that you've been ignoring certain things for a while now? You know they're there. But you just ignored it, hoping it'll go away, and it hadn't. Who is that person? Who's the person in your life that God has continued to say, You need to have that conversation. You see what's going on. You keep hoping somebody else is going to say it, but you know they won't. You need to have that conversation. Who is that person? See, I think for most of us, there's probably somebody that's come to mind already. I just want you to imagine for a moment. Imagine for a moment having a difficult conversation with that person in a way that you speak the truth in love. See, I think part of the issue with our society is that we have such shallow relationships because we're not willing to do the hard work and go there in our relationships. We're not willing to get deep and address things in our relationships, and so we just keep sweeping things under the carpet, sweep, and then we're tripping over the carpet because we're not willing to go there in those conversations, in those relationships. But it's only when we go there and come through the other side that we begin to develop a level of intimacy that we never knew before. I want you just to imagine whoever that person is, friend, spouse, family member, small group member, neighbor, coworker, whoever that person is. Imagine being able to have a conversation with them about this difficult issue and they knew you loved them. Whether they got defensive, whether they threw up a wall, whether they did any of those things, they knew you cared about them enough to approach that. And then I want you to picture that relationship down the road. How much richer? How much deeper could that relationship potentially be just by being willing to go there and have that conversation? I hope and pray that if God places it on your heart, that you'd be willing to speak the truth in love. And that's one of the ways that you'll be able to love out loud. Let me pray for us, okay? God, thank you so much for giving us a heart of love, giving us a heart that wants the best for people. God, I believe that comes from you. I don't believe that we just naturally just always want the best for people. I think most of the time we want the best for us. But when we are looking at other people and we want the best for them, I think that comes from you. God, I just pray that there are any difficult conversations that need to happen with people outside of this place today as they go through their lives. I pray that you would guide, you would direct the steps, you would guide their words, you would help them with their motivation, the presentation, the affirmation, all of those things. You would just guide every step along the way. And I know there may be a risk of rejection and maybe a risk of, I don't know, the peace that I have in the relationship right now, which we know is not real peace because our hearts are all stirred up about it. I know there's a risk of all those things, but God, I pray that we would keep focused on a deeper, more intimate relationship that we can have down the road. Thank you for loving us so much that you're willing to speak truth in our life. And I pray that you'd help us to love out loud in the same way. We love you, and we're so grateful that you loved us first. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.